The following is a recording of a live questions and answers session with Chris McCann that took place on Friday, October 9th, 2015.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a pre-recorded eBible Fellowship's questions and answers time. This program is designed to interact with you with your questions and comments related to the Bible, and we'll try to respond as well as possible by going to the Bible. And so, with our Bibles at the ready, it's now time to turn things over to our speaker for this pre-recorded questions and answers time and say hello to Chris McCann.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Friday night question and answer program. Tonight, we're going to have a shortened Q&A. We're just going to maybe take a couple of calls and go for about a half hour. And I would like to just, first of all, sort of lay some things out, what eBible Fellowship is, thinking and what our plans are for the future and as much as I can. Now, I wrote a note on Facebook, and I posted it in some places, and I would recommend, if possible, if you have access to that, to read that note. I wrote it on October 8th concerning passing the date of October 7th. And in that note, I explain, let me just see if I can go over a couple of the points there. Well, one thing that I felt was necessary to point out, based on numerous responses from people in the world and who had heard about October 7th and sent us a note or commented somehow, sort of rejoicing and celebrating and, as though it were some sort of victory for the world, and maybe even the implication to the people of the world is that it's some kind of justification or vindication of the world itself. And so I stress, because I think it's very important, that the people of the world not think that passing the date of October 7th in any way is divine justification for the world. No, the Bible is still very clear, very definite, and God says in many places that the world will be destroyed. And the reason the world will be destroyed is because of its sin, mankind's sinful condition, and especially today with the open rebellion that the people of the world, the inhabitants of the earth, are involved in their iniquities like never before in history. Well, we can be absolutely certain that it will bring a final destruction of the world. You know, the only thing that passed on October 7th was that specific day. And it was not the day. We were incorrect concerning the day itself. And I also want to point out that we consistently told people that October 7th, 2015 would be the likely, or that there was a strong likelihood that would be the end of the world. And we said this because of a very good amount of biblical evidence that we had studied for some time pointed to that date in a strong way. And so that's how we presented it consistently. We kept telling people a strong likelihood. There were people who wanted us to be more dogmatic, to speak with more authority or an absolute way. And we said, no, we have to be humble. We have to be humble, and we have to say that based on all the available evidence, we believe there's a strong likelihood it will happen. And at the same time, that openly is an acknowledgement that there's a small likelihood it would not happen. And so it's important that it be stated that E-Bible Fellowship did not lie nor deceive anyone in any way. We told people the facts, the truth of the situation throughout the entire period of proclaiming this. We constantly said it's a strong likelihood and so forth, and it was a strong likelihood based on all the evidence at our disposal. But it did not happen, and so we are disappointed, yet it's our plan to continue studying the Bible. Now, first of all, before I talk about that, I would also like to point out that the church, as well as the world, have their opinion of e-Bible, of this sort of proclamation, and it's not a flattering opinion. And yet, to tell the truth, to be straightforward, e-Bible Fellowship has no concern for the church's opinion of us. We don't care what the bishops or the priests or the ministers or the elders or the deacons or the individual members of the congregations think about us. We're not interested in any approval from them or disapproval. It's actually insignificant either way, because God has ended the church age and the Spirit of God has left all the churches of the world, and the church itself, in its very existence, is in open rebellion against God. And so, what they, think of us or how they view us is really of no concern to us. Likewise, it's the same with the world. You know, the world today, is, of course, in terrible sin and going deeper into sin. And it is in madness, as it pursues, the things of this world and is trying to distance itself more and more as far as possible from God and His Word. And so there is a spiritual insanity and a moral, insanity that is going on in the world. And so we're not concerned with the world's opinion of us that we're crazy or lunatic or anything like that. You know, that old adage, consider the source. It's not like the world or any nation within the world or any city within any nation or any little town within any city or outside of a city is sane today. The whole world is full of madness and full of evil. And okay, you think we're crazy or you have a low opinion of us. That's fine. You can keep your opinion. Again, it's of no significance, no concern to the child of God or to E-Bible Fellowship as a whole. We are not interested. We're not trying to please the church. And we're not trying to please the world. Our only interest is to please God, to be faithful to what the Bible says. And that's our desire going forward. We want to continue studying the Bible. And that's also what I pointed out in the note, that our plan B, our backup plan, is to turn to the Bible and to keep reading it and to keep studying it and to keep looking to God for information, for truth, for help, for guidance, looking and asking God for His Holy Spirit to direct us. That is and always has been our plan. Keep going to the Bible. Now, with that thought in mind, Lord willing, at this time, and as you know, there was no study tonight. It was a recording. And also this coming Sunday, we'll have a recording. I will do a short segment, live Q&A, just like tonight on Sunday, because some people listen to that who do not listen to the Friday night or during the week. And so I'll go over some of these things on Sunday. But this weekend, we're going to spend, and next week also, is going to be spent studying. We're going to go to the Bible and, just see what we can learn and see which way God would have us to go. Let's see, there is a good verse which is in Proverbs that speaks of the righteous, and that would be all those that God has saved. And it is in Proverbs chapter 15. Let me read this verse in Proverbs 15 and verse 28. It says, "The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things." And that's really saying a lot. And it's true. God's people, we don't try to say things off the top of our head. We don't pull information out of the blue or out of a hat. We speak after we study. We go to the Bible and we search the scriptures, praying for wisdom, asking God for help, and we put in the effort, by God's grace, to find out what is God teaching on a verse or a passage or a chapter or a book. And then after doing that, we learn, typically, and we're able to speak. This is the process that God has set in place. And so at this time, when we did study and we searched the Bible and it pointed to a particular date and we had a good expectation, that would be the end. And yet time has moved on and it did not happen. And therefore we have to review. We have to go back. We have to look at the things that pointed to October 7th, we have to review other information and see what is going on. Will God help us and will He open up our eyes to some information that can help explain these things? And therefore, it's necessary to go back to the Bible to study. And so we're going to take a little period off, a week or two, and study and make preparation. Then, Lord willing, the plan is to go to the book of Genesis and begin a verse by verse study through the book of Genesis, beginning with Genesis 1 verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then carefully go through Genesis. We don't know at this point how long it will be, but we'll continue to go verse by verse for as long as we can and as long as the Lord wills. And also I think that there's special significance to Genesis chapter 8 that may help us with understanding what has been going on and concerning our present time period, but it's a difficult chapter. So I would appreciate prayers that the Lord would give us wisdom, that someone else reading it might have a thought and might share it or send an email or post it on Facebook And you know, that's often how we learn, because it's certainly better to have 100 people or 1,000 people looking at a passage, and God could work through any one of them. We need to keep praying for wisdom and praying for guidance, and we're going to need patience. We're going to need patience, and we always need patience at all times, but we're here. This is the situation, and, you know, the Bible says that we have to gird up the loins of our mind, and it's not going to help any one of us if I begin to feel sorry for myself or anyone else feels sorry for themselves and begins to think, well, I don't want to be here and I want to go to be with the Lord. Well, yes, we do. We have a desire to be with the Lord. It's far better. The Bible recognizes that. Yet the Apostle Paul also says in Philippians, when he makes that statement in Philippians chapter 1, he says in verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." And you see, as far as the individual child of God's concerned, it would be best if we departed to be with the Lord, either in death or through rapture or resurrection, the end of the world. But we're still here. And we're still here because it's more needful for you. Paul was moved to say those words concerning other believers in Philippi, other elect. And remember, we still have the task, feed my sheep. And so here we are, still in the world, at a time where God has given us that task to feed the sheep. And therefore, we can only conclude it is definitely the will of God that we're here. And God's perfect will was done, and it's always perfect. It's always right. It's always the correct thing. And secondly, that it is more needful for us to be here at this time for the elect out there, that great multitude. You know, I remember thinking when so many thousands were coming into these groups on Facebook, and thinking, well, you know, as time was getting shorter and less to October 7th, that, wow, if this were to continue, if we had any length of time where people could keep coming in, then our audience or people that we could reach just in these groups, it would be really large. It's getting larger and larger. Well, we still, for the most part, have all those people that came into the groups there for us to witness to, there for us to minister to feed. And among them are certainly some of God's elect, and yet more may come in. One thing that I've really been wondering about is, why did God have this news of October 7th explode the way it did the last couple of days leading up to the 7th and after? And I don't know all the reasons, but I do know that now eBible Fellowship, the website and Facebook groups and so on, is out there as a ministry that is associated with May 21, 2011 Judgment Day and with information about the end of the world. Yes, it was incorrect, but people are going to remember us, especially if they're part of that great multitude. Now they may be able to find us a little easier, or they'll have some idea where to go, who to turn to if they have questions about Judgment Day or May 21 or the end of the world or those kinds of things. And so it could be one reason why the Lord allowed that to happen in the manner that it did, to spread so far and wide so quickly. And you know, that doesn't happen all that often. Just look at, it was nothing. It wasn't like May 21, that intense, ongoing, worldwide attention for a prolonged period of time. But this was more of a very quick, blast over a couple of day period. But the information spread to hundreds of media sources all over the world. And so, many, many people heard about October 7th. And so the Lord has a purpose and he has a reason. All things work together for good to those that love God. And now we have to, each one of us, by God's grace, again, gird up the loins of our mind and hope to the end. And continue to wait on the Lord and to trust him and to wait as we study the Bible and see where he would direct us. Well, let's see. We'll take a couple of calls. We have only two people on the phone line, so we'll just take these two calls and then we'll end our Q&A for tonight. Again, the reason for having a shortened question and answer program is that it's necessary when we have a doctrine, a teaching in place, like 10,000 days and 1,600 days, and it impacts other things that have to be reviewed. They have to be checked out. And again, we have to study to answer. It doesn't help anybody, I don't think, if we start speculating and could it be this and could it be that and could it be the other thing and what about this and what about that? Well, yeah, there are possibilities, but we're not to minister questions. You know, this is supposed to be a question and answer program. Questions are good. I have a lot of them too, but we need answers. And in order to find answers, we have to first study and put some time into study. And then it's up to the Lord if he will grant us understanding in those ways. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with questions. It's just, or thinking of various possibilities. I'm doing the same thing. But as far as, airing it and sort of having a group think session, I don't think that's good at all. So we're just going to try and limit it tonight until, if it's the Lord's will, we'll have more information at a later time. Okay, let's go to our first caller tonight. Welcome to our Friday night question and answer program. Please go ahead with your call.
Yes, praise the Lord, God, Father, and Jesus Christ. You did a very good speech, Chris. The Lord said he will not tarry in our expectation, will happen. What you said was, I believe is true. He's doing this to draw attention, to himself and that we are sinners, but yet saved by grace. And this has all been a very good encouragement. I've talked to a lot of people and they don't know Christ, and I believe Christ has shed his grace and mercy on me and many others. So I just want to praise him, and as he says in Nehemiah 8, the joy of the Lord is our strength, and we just keep looking to him as a test a faith of test or a test of faith. But I'm going to rejoice and keep going and praising God. And I know He made us. I know He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So thanks, Chris, and just keep going.
Well, thank you for calling and sharing. Appreciate your comments. And let's go to our next caller, and this will be our last caller tonight. Welcome to our Friday night question and answer program. Please go ahead with your call.
Hi, Chris. In light of what you said just a minute ago, I don't know if it's fair to ask this question, but yeah, the last, the Phoenix Tabernacle in 2011 and the one that just passed, we were, you know, thinking that that had a high likelihood, that both of those had high likelihoods of being the end of the world because that feast hasn't been fulfilled yet. Is that something that you think still holds true, you know, that the last day is tied in with the Feast of Tabernacles, the resurrection, the rapture? And is there any other future Feast of Tabernacles that you've looked at?
Well, the Feast of Tabernacles, there are a few things that make us think it identifies with the end of the world. It was a feast said to be held in the end of the year, and yet it was actually held in the seventh month of the Hebrew calendar, not the 12th. And so the end of the year language pointed to the end of the world. And also the phrase last day, the last day, used 8 times in the Bible and 6 times in relationship to being raised up at the last day, resurrection, the last day, and the word will judge at the last day, and then 2 times in relationship to the Feast of Tabernacles and its last day. So that's good evidence, and that was part of the reason why we were looking at October 7th as the likely last day. And we even named a website, October7thLastDay.com. And yet it was more than that. There was other biblical information that all came together pointing to that particular day and supporting it. And so we can keep that in mind concerning the Feast of Tabernacles as we look in the future. And by the way, you know, some people might think that we're just looking for a date, but we're not. We're looking for explanation concerning the time and season we're living in, and it all relates to key and significant things like the Great Tribulation, the end of the church age, the teaching of no salvation in the churches, the teaching of Judgment Day, May 21, and no salvation in the world, and so forth. These things are all interrelated with the timeline, and information is derived through knowledge of the timeline, and so it's extremely important that we know where we are in time, so that because the language of the Bible fits times and seasons. For instance, we know God isn't using national Israel, and that time has passed. And so when we read scriptures where God is speaking of or He's addressing national Israel, we know that that's been fulfilled, or it's pointing to the church that Israel represented, or to something else. And likewise, we know the church age is over. And so, but there, we only know that because of the biblical calendar of history and God's program of times and seasons. And that's why I think it's going to be very helpful for us to do a study in the book of Genesis. And Lord willing, if we are here that long, and we go through Genesis 5 and perhaps Genesis 10 and 11, where the genealogies are listed, we can go very slowly and carefully through the biblical calendar and lay it all out and yes, dismantle it piece by piece and put it back together and see it, how accurate it is. And I'm sure as we're doing that and praying for wisdom, that God is going to guide us and help us in learning more about how it projects into our day, but it's going to require some patience on our part, some more patience until the Lord opens up further information. But thank you for calling and sharing. And I would like to thank everyone for joining us tonight. Thank you for spending some time. Lord willing, again, this Sunday afternoon, we'll have a recorded study followed by a live question and answer program where we'll take a couple of calls, but then we'll go back to our hymn sing and scripture reading and into the online fellowship. So please join us Sunday. And also, over the next week or so, it would be a good thing for all of us to go to the Word of God, the Bible, and to study and to pray for wisdom and pray that God, again, would help us. But thank you for joining us. May you have a good night, and may the Lord's perfect will be done.
And thanks for joining us again for eBible Fellowship's Questions and Answers Time with your speaker, Chris McCann. You can join us for these questions and answers sessions on Sunday afternoons following the Sunday studies and most weeknights following the Monday through Friday studies. Please check eBibleFellowship.com for the current schedule. Until next time, may the Lord's perfect will be done.